So last fall, just around this time last year, my husband and I went out to our garden on the side of our house to pick out some weeds that may have snuck their way in like many weeds do. I spotted a plant that I hadn't seen before in our garden. Puzzled about what it could be, I asked Mark if he thought it was a weed and if I should pull it. He said that it looked like it could be some sort of vegetable somehow and suggested, so we both don't really know, and suggested that I use this new app I had downloaded and put on my phone called PlantNet to figure out what it might be. The app is really interesting because you take a picture of any plant, tree, flower, or weed, and after you take that picture, the app will tell you exactly what it is. So I pulled up the app and snapped a picture of this mystery plant. As soon as I took it, it came up showing the name Great Pumpkin. I was very surprised to see that we had pumpkins growing in our yard. I turned to Mark and asked, "Did you secretly plant pumpkins here? Maybe just to surprise the kids and I?" And Mark was as puzzled as I was. Each year, like many families, I'm sure, Mark and I take our children to the farm in early October to pick pumpkins to bring home and carve. The kids dream up their designs and get to work. Once their beautiful creations are made, we put them out on the front steps for our house to proudly display for all to see. It happens quickly, though, that the squirrels of the neighborhood find out that there are some yummy treats to snack on. Quite rapidly, we see our beautiful pumpkins with more and more bites each day. We figured that we must have left seeds behind, and the squirrels relocated them to our side garden for safekeeping. Surprise! Months later, we have pumpkins growing that we did not plant. Our children enjoy picking the pumpkins once they are orange and ready. So growth can happen in unexpected places, situations, time, and events in our lives that would surprise you. Have you ever experienced growth or change when you did not expect it? We are taken through the parable about seeds being spread on four different types of soil. For a moment, it seems quite technical. You can almost get caught up in the points Jesus makes about depth, moisture, shade, and soil temperature. And that is the beauty of the parables. A parable is an earthly story with heavenly meaning. Jesus is using a story that everyone can relate to. In that time, most people were farmers, so you might notice that a lot of Jesus' stories are about farming. Jesus is painting a picture of how a nurturing, healthy soil can provide the nourishment and growth we need in our lives. First, Jesus talks about the seeds not growing on hardened soil. When I was young, I lived in a corner house on my street. Everyone walking along the sidewalk would cut the corner just a little bit as they walked by. No matter how much grass seed my mom put down, the grass never grew because it would continually get walked on over and over again, and the soil was too packed down to allow growth. What does it feel like when this happens to you? Sometimes there's an excessive traffic in our lives that hardens our soil. Kids and adults alike, you may have traffic of having our feelings hurt. Traffic of worrying about a test at school or a project at work. Traffic of being let down by others. Traffic of being a kid told you cannot do something or you're never good enough. Jesus and gardeners alike know this is not the soil we need in our lives or in our gardens. Jesus then speaks about seeds taking root quickly, but ultimately not surviving due to shallow or little soil. Galilee is a place that is covered in rock limestone. In some places around the Sea of Galilee, there would be only about 1 inch of soil over the rock. Seeds that were blown or scattered would soon die because roots could not reach deep enough into the soil to survive. Working with our families and children here at Spiritus and watching children in our parish grow into amazing young people, I see the importance all of you parents put into finding a place where roots can grow deep. Here at Spiritus, I witness you all hearing the messages from Jesus and the messages from this pulpit, and you do something so they can take root in your lives. You join committees and volunteer. You join movements in your own towns and communities at home to make the places you live thrive with love and acceptance. The love and inclusivity that comes from this room is brought out to the world, and we have our young people to thank for that. The young people growing in our parish do not settle for shallow soil. They seek out rich, deep soil to live out their lives. If they cannot find deep soil, they make changes in the world they live in to change the soil so that their roots get the nutrients that they need. A few weeks ago, I ran into one of the teens that I have known since she was in preschool in our religious education program here at Spiritus. I knew that she was about to start her second year of college in another state and asked if she was excited to go back. She looked apprehensive, so I took the opportunity to invite her to share a little bit if she wanted to. She went on to tell me that her first year of college was not what she expected. She said she never felt welcome and that the environment surrounding her felt toxic and not somewhere that she could truly be herself. She felt herself becoming sad, angry, and depressed where she was, and she decided to leave and switch to a college closer to home. I asked her how she knew that was the best choice for her, and she gave me one word, Spiritus. She went on to tell me that growing up in a community where she has always felt loved and accepted set a precedent of how she wanted to feel everywhere in the world. She shared that she didn't want to settle being part of a place that didn't lift her up and enrich her. You, Spiritus Christi, added to the good soil in her life. And she knew she still needed that in her life to thrive. Other alumni from our religious education and youth programs go off and share that good soil in their own communities and the world. One teen is now a young adult and volunteers his time by participating on one of our boards and continues to make our parish the best it can be for years to come. He understands what he has gotten out of this community and wants to ensure that Spiritus can continue to do that for so many others. One of our fifth graders here at Spiritus shared that she loved participating in service projects so much in religious education class that she decided she wanted to try to get chosen from her class at school to be part of the service club. The club chooses only 2 students per class to create and carry out service projects at their school and community to help those in need. She was thrilled to find out that she was nominated by many of her peers and chosen to be part of this club. She felt pulled to take what she learned here at Spiritus and branch out to find ways to do more to share God's love and help many more people. Another child that grew up in our religious education programs has grown to become an English as a second language teacher, teaching non-English speaking students of the fundamentals of English so they could learn to communicate effectively with others. She knew that language barriers could make children feel isolated and wanted those children to feel heard, valued, and important. She knew that Spiritus, through her years being brought up here, that we are always trying to find new ways to be the voice for the unheard. She wanted to continue to be the voice and build confidence for the children she works with. So I'm going to ask you, do these ideas and beliefs sound familiar? We live and breathe them every day here at Spiritus, and with the help of our parishioners, dedicated parents, teachers, and leaders here, our children are rooted in the rich, deep soil that Jesus speaks about. It would be easy to stand up here today and tell you that the families get all the benefits from the religious ed program, but I would be lying. The truth is that the Spiritus community benefits and has their soil enriched by the families coming to church. I think of one multi-generational family here at Spiritus, and we are enriched in multi-dimensional ways because of them. Megan and Andrew Bradford, sitting right here, were married at Spiritus in 2009 and have been attending for years. They have three beautiful children, Aaron, Meredith, and Tommy. Megan is very involved in our religious education program and teaches our pre-K and kindergarten class. Not only that, Megan and Andrew dedicate so much of their time making sure their children and family are involved in so many things at Spiritus. Megan's parents enrich our soil as well. Nancy is an interpreter, and Mike sets up the altar every weekend for our masses. Again, each and every one of you parishioners here at Spiritus adds so much to the healthy roots and soil here. That's why Spiritus is the best two-way street around. So as we step into a new year here in religious education program, I'm so excited to see how our children will continue to grow, feel the nourishment and love from our church family, and take that with them in their own communities outside of the Spiritus walls to create a more inclusive and loving world.